All right, guys, welcome all in. We've got about 225 registered attendees and about almost 100 here live right now. Really, really exciting. So welcome Print Hustlers. I'm Bruce from Printavo, Simple Shop Management Software. We are really excited today to be able to have Adam Smith, co-owner out of Lucky Prints. Thanks so much for being able to join us.
Yeah, thank you.
So this really is
looking forward to this. It's been a weird time for everybody. I know everybody's kind of feeling, uncertainty and all of that. So
really, yeah,
thankful for you guys providing all these updates and getting information out to help companies like us and everybody here.
Yeah, 100%. Well, it is such a crazy time, but it's interesting as it's making shops pivot and change based on the current environment. I think we've hit our kind of shock moment. The first week or two is like, right. Oh my yeah. Gosh, holy crap, what's going on? And now everybody's starting to be like, okay, this is clearly the new environment for a little while here, a little while longer than we probably initially thought. And it's really neat to see shops be able to adjust. Like you guys, which is where I saw you kind of pivot really quickly, actually, and be able to build out such a great new sales channel. And so that's what we're here to talk about today. But first, tell us just a little bit about your shop. You guys are based in Chicago, too. I've been there a couple times.
Yep.
Such a cool loft space. How'd you get started? How many people do you have?
Yeah. So we're in Chicago. We're on the west side. If you're familiar with the lay of the land out here, we're right by the United Center and Goose Island's Brewery. It's all industrial area. And we're actually in an incubator building for light industrial companies, which has helped immensely in us accelerating our growth. And since we've moved in here, we've grown about five times over. So yeah, we got started about 8 years ago. It'll actually be 8 years on May 1. So we got a birthday coming up. But I've been printing for about 16 years. A familiar name in the chat over here I see is my old boss that I got started with. glad to see him on here. Hey, Todd. And we're a team of eight right now. We've been able to keep everybody on despite, the hardship that we're going through along with everybody else. And we've found success and, have been able to grow our business on kind of a partnership ideology. So, we look for the problems that our customers have and, find ways whether we have those tools already or if it's a tool that we can develop and kind of help them resolve those issues and help grow their business. So that's
sure.
Mentality and that ethos has kind of helped us get to where we are.
So and before getting into the store side, just the whole coronavirus, the whole environment that it's created, you guys have kept your team on, which is awesome. I'm assuming you got the loan application in and have been waiting for that. Any update from your bank around that one? And everybody's been
not
asking.
Yet. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we did ours through Chase. We had a pretty longstanding relationship with them. And I think they, as well as other banks, limited their applicants to people that had accounts open by, I think, February 15th is kind of the de facto benchmark. But so we got our application in late last week, I think on Thursday, and
okay.
We're just waiting to hear back. So we knew it was coming, and we worked with our accounting team to compile all the documents that we needed, get all the 941 and 944 returns kind of compiled and ready to go, and ran the numbers a few times and just double checked our work to make sure that there were no snags, no issues that would hang it up. So we're hoping to hear back from them any day. And I mean, that will allow us quite a bit of cushion to be able to keep paying our staff and even be able to pay them up to their normal full-time paychecks, which would be ideal.
So how did you, going off on a little tangent on here, but how did you manage to keep your team? First of all, how many people do you guys have right now? And then did you have to like work with everybody, say, hey, this is tough, we're just going to lower salaries for a bit, or I'm going to cut my salary, or what did you do?
Yeah, I mean, exactly that. We've got 8 people right now, all full time. We don't have any part time employees. Mm-hmm. So going into this, I mean, I had seen other states start to do their shutdown and the shelter in place, and starting with other countries doing it, and knowing that we were, you know, that time was fast approaching for us as well. So we looked at our burn rate for our cash, if we had to ride this out for a few months, and the numbers didn't look great. So, but we were fortunate that we did have quite a bit of cash put away, and we're able to weather the storm. So we just kind of took a number based off of that and that burn rate. And I was very transparent with my staff. I told them, you know, my ultimate goal is to keep them on to keep them thriving. And how we were able to do that was we just reduced their take-home pay to about 20. It averaged out to about 20 hours a week for the folks that aren't able to come into the shop. We're super limited in our capacity right now. Mm-hmm. And then I kept a couple of our front end team on to work from home. Right now they're working 2 on, 2 off, since weekends don't really matter these days. They're kind of spearheading and leading the charge on the merch stores for fundraising. So
got it.
We have some folks that are able to get some genuine hours on their paycheck, and then the rest of the folks we're trying to supplement as best we can out of the cash that we have.
Makes sense. So jumping into this, right? You know, you guys came on the radar for us fairly randomly, because I don't think you were using any sort of stores or anything like that before the last kind of 30, 45-ish days here. So what was that thought process like first of getting into just using stores and like what prompted that?
It hit me. I don't have a date on it, but it hit me the Sunday before, the week before the shelter in place order went in for Illinois. So it just hit me one morning, and I was like, we had seen our traditional customers start to back off of orders that they had placed. And a lot of our customer base is in the hospitality industry, breweries, cafes, gyms, coffee roasters, all that kind of stuff. And they were the first wave of people that were kind of immediately and imminently impacted by this. So they were shut down. And I mean, we know a lot of those people. We have most of our customers have been with us for a long time. And the employees at those companies that we work with, we could kind of sense, you know, sense the fear that they had and the anxieties that they had. And we knew, kind of going back to that partnership approach that we take to everything, that, you know, we needed to ride this out together and do what we can to, you know, get creative and find ways to help them. And then you know, we knew that people weren't going to be placing orders, and we knew that fundraising, t-shirts are a great way to fundraise. Printed anything is a great way to fundraise. And so I was just kind of looking around and exploring any tool that we had that could offset the cost of purchasing for them. It's a very similar platform to how we run our live printing for festivals and stuff around Chicago. And we kind of take on the burden of cost and the risk, because we have the relationships with our t-shirt vendors and stuff like that, where if we have, you know, if we bring out 200 shirts to an event, we sell the shirts. If we sell 150 of them, we have 50 of them on hand, and we can send those back to get restocked. And we'll eat a little bit of that restock cost if necessary. But the idea is that we were able to handle the merchandising, handle the point of sale, and offer that to whoever the benefactor is, at no cost or minimal cost. So
how did you get how did you get the first? Well, who was the first one, and how'd you get them?
Ooh, let me take a look at that real quick.
Sure.
Let me launch. So the first one that we launched was for a restaurant in Chicago called Mondano.
Okay.
And they were actually not a customer of ours. one of our front end team, she normally is responsible for taking in new project inquiries, setting up orders for customers. She's an account manager. She had a background in the hospitality industry. And like I was saying, they were the first ones to start feeling it. So she had personal relationships with a lot of people who were servers, bartenders, chefs, restaurant owners. And she just reached out and you know, they kind of saw the writing on the wall that things were about to get really rough. And they knew that they had to start raising funds. And yeah, they liked the platform that we put together. And we built a store just kind of to present to them initially without them really sending us anything. And they liked it. And
so did you go into that initial conversation with a demo store and you then emailed them saying, hey, yep, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's what we can do. Here's an example of it. And you put their logo and everything on it too.
Yeah. So we've done that for a few people. We built out a sample site using our stuff because we just had a bunch of graphics laying around in our Dropbox for years. So we just put some of those mockups in a site, put some pricing, ran some, you know, some literature in there for people to read and just different options. We actually had kind of a whiteboard session before we put this whole thing together, and we kind of broke out like, all right, who is our target? Who needs the most help? We're going to start there.
Got it. So you listed all of them on the whiteboard, like example companies and.
Yeah, exactly. And then we put together, we tried to keep it really simple. We didn't want things to get muddy by introducing a bunch of different garment styles and all of that. So we wanted to be able to offer few different levels of contribution, because most of the folks who are going to buy a t-shirt from a restaurant aren't necessarily the patrons, but probably other people within the industry. So we knew that people needed an option. If they only had $12 to throw at it, we could get them a tote bag. If they had more than that, they could buy a $32 hoodie, or if they wanted to fall right in the middle, they could get a $20 t-shirt.
Got the scale. Yeah,
exactly. So we put some core products together to try and get everybody using the same SKUs and to be able to offer a few different levels of contribution based on the budget of whoever's going to be buying that product. Because a lot of people want to support multiple businesses, if they wanted to buy a gift for somebody, they could buy the tote bag because there's no sizing restrictions or anything like that. And that kind of allowed people different options. And what we've seen is that people will buy a few things. So if you're just selling one t-shirt, then you're going to get one sale, one product in the hands of one person. But we've noticed that a lot of people, because that tote bag option is there, people are just tacking those onto their order, which is awesome.
Smart. That's very interesting. I mean, it's kind of like how we do our pricing, right? There's the kind of beginner getting started for people who are more price conscious. And then there's the fuller featured one that are wanting more of the efficiency. Really smart. And actually, what a great idea to do that and really set up the store for them. I mean, you made it so easy for them to say yes, right? Like, yeah. I mean, what did they respond back and say after you sent them that? Because you didn't have much of a lot relationship.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, they were ecstatic. Mondano specifically they were super stoked on it. Especially too, they had also been working on they're kind of a finer dining restaurant. And so they kind of pivoted and put together a carryout centric, menu project that they called it Winging It. And they were doing like a bunch of fried chicken, which was kind of a detachment from what they normally do. So they had already put some graphics together specifically for the marketing of that program. So they sent us all of that, and we had like fresh new gear, new graphics that were specific to that program. And it was, yeah, just kind of, it aligned perfectly. I mean, they were working on a program in-house to raise funds for their staff already. And we were able to kind of provide them an additional outlet to supplement the fundraising efforts that they were doing in-house with the food.
Got it. Has your sales pitch changed any, or are you doing a similar thing from that list that you created of potential customers now?
We've definitely tweaked it. At first it was confusing for a lot of people because we were pitching it as like, hey, look, this thing is amazing. Look at this resource that we have. And for a lot of people, especially people that we didn't already have a relationship with, it was almost like a too good to be true kind of thing. They're like, I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to buy any shirts. I just sit back and wait for a check. So we kind of changed our wording, and we're whenever we're reaching out to people, we'll send them some example of sites. We try to, you know, use people whose name is pretty well known around the city, like some of the breweries and stuff like that, just to kind of give it some credibility, but also to give them an opportunity to kind of flip through it and see, all right, you know, here's a shirt from Half Acre. I could do something like that for our company. Just kind of allow them to imagine their graphics and their branding on this site. But we definitely had to tweak it a little bit. We also expanded it out to not just service and hospitality industry. Once the shelter in place went into effect, because then it was everybody. I mean, there's not a company in the city, I don't think, that's feeling the impact. So we wanted to expand it once we were able to kind of vet it through the channels that we already had established. We felt really confident in taking it out and advertising it. We even promoted it, ran some paid ads to just trying to garner some interest and get some feedback from the general public.
Is that what your sales team is focusing on, you know, majority of the time now, is going out to new local businesses and pitching fundraising stores?
Yeah, not so much going out, but reaching out for sure.
I mean, yeah, I guess figuratively.
Yeah, so we split it up. So we have two account reps who are normally handling orders on the day-to-day. We have one of them focused on outreach and onboarding. And then the other one, once we get a store live, the other one takes over from there and kind of, you know, manages it kind of in perpetuity. So we're running it on a cycle. So Logan, who is responsible for onboarding, she'll kind of get the conversation started. She'll show them some examples, answer whatever questions they have. She can even give them like a payout structure, so that they can run some numbers based on, you know, hypothetical sales figures and stuff. And then Andrew will take over from there to manage the store. He'll cycle them out every couple of weeks, and he'll tally up the payouts and just kind of keep everything going after that initial launch is active. We do still have some traditional orders coming in, fortunately, and he's able to manage those as well.
Got it. So you talked about following up actually before we went live here, which I thought was really, really cool. How, you know, dive into that. What about some of these potential customers that were coming back around because of the environment and everything that's going around? Or did you follow up? How does that work?
It was about a week ago, we noticed that, because we had reached out to a ton of people, I mean, dozens and dozens of businesses in the city. And a lot of people liked the idea, they appreciated the effort, but they weren't ready to do it for one reason or another. They may have already had a GoFundMe started, or they had another fundraising platform that they were focusing their efforts on. And what we noticed now that we're about a month in is that last week we started getting some feedback from the people that we'd hit up at the beginning of this. And as companies are, you know, just burning through whatever resources they have, or maybe their other fundraising platform just wasn't enough. We've had a lot of people following back up, trying to get stuff started, to supplement whatever fundraising efforts they've done, whether they didn't project their cash far enough out, or just, you know, underestimated the impact. Like I think we've all done, is underestimated how the severity of this and how quickly it would escalate. It's kind of given us an opportunity to revisit those conversations with those people and get them back on board, just so that we can, you know, we can try to help them out and help them keep their staff and help them keep their lights on and stay open when we get on the other side.
Right. That's actually a really great point. It's just not forgetting the people that you reached out to originally, right? And just being there again, checking in, how are things? We just finished this campaign for this restaurant. I wanted to be able to offer you guys that back again. Are you interested? That's such a great idea, Adam. So you started to get into the fulfillment, and I feel like there's a lot of lessons learned of handling stores, especially when it seems like you're running quite a few and trying to bring on more and more. How does that work? Like, how long are you just running them forever? You know, when do you fulfill? Is it weekly, or how does that process go?
Yeah, so we realized that if we just kind of needed to have a timeline or a cycle on things, and we didn't want them all to land at the same time, because otherwise it's chaos. It's easy to get overwhelmed. We weren't sure at the time, especially what our production capacity was going to be. So if we could even, you know, if we took on a few hundred orders from 20 different stores, what that was going to be like. Because like you said, I mean, we had never run these merch stores prior to this. So we decided to set it up on a biweekly basis because we figured that's how most folks are doing their payroll is every 2 weeks. So from the day that the store goes live, we put it on the calendar. So every 2 weeks out, we use in our kind of task management system, we put in there that payout needs to happen, the garments need to get ordered, artwork needs to get processed, and then we can go to print. And so we're just able to tick those off. We kind of treat it like a regular order, you know, just hitting all those boxes before it goes out of the door. But that 2 week cycle has really helped out, and it allows us to kind of, you know, we have something to come into every week. And aside from like the onboarding and the outreach and all of that work, we have some, we're starting to get those fulfillment orders in now that we're hitting those 2 week cycles.
Gotcha. Interesting. Any mistakes or lessons learned that on the fulfillment side?
Yeah, definitely. So I wasn't expecting to see the amount of success, or I really just didn't have a gauge on what that would mean. And right now I think we've got 494 orders, in our cycle, and we're going to start processing those now. So most of the production is done for about 300 of those, and I've got cases and cases of shirts right on the other side of this wall that are individually polybagged and ready to go. So if you are going to get into this, and you think that you might have some success and start seeing numbers in the hundreds in terms of orders, just put a plan together. You know, schedule your production out. Give yourself a day to work out all the kinks on the first round of it. If you're not already doing folding and polybagging and all of that stuff, you know, make sure that you have the right tools to do it. Make sure you have all the supplies that you need, and give yourself a little bit of time on the front end to that. If, like I said, if you've never done that, if that's not a typical thing for you, it is very time consuming. It's folding and bagging a shirt and then putting it together with a packing slip and slapping a label on it takes a lot more time than the printing does most often. So just make sure that you're budgeting that time out and you know, you've given yourself enough of a cushion, and most importantly, controlling the expectation for the people that are buying it. So if you didn't already let the people know what to inspect in terms of timeline, like on our checkout process, we put in there that all orders will ship within 2 to 3 weeks, and we get it very clear that it's a pre-sale. So just make sure that communication is there. Let the whoever the store business is, just give them a heads up. That way they can answer questions, because most likely that their customers who are buying the shirts in support of them are going to reach out to them first. So make sure that everybody's on the same page in terms of what to expect, the timelines, the payouts, all of that stuff. You don't want to get on the backside of this and do something that that somebody thought was going to be different, and you know, they're not happy about it now. And now all of a sudden you go from, you know, being a lifesaver or a life ring to you're taking the seat of a villain, and you're having to try to dig yourself out of a hole just from bad communication. So
100%. That's a really great point. How did you handle that with the fundraised amount for each of the items back to the business, right? Like you talked about, you had like a low, medium, high product. Was it a percentage based of each of those products, or what was that?
So we set it up a little bit different than some of the ones that I've seen out there. We wanted to do a couple of things. We wanted to maximize the impact for the company that we were setting up the store for, while also making it very clear upfront what to expect. So we have three core products. We're doing the tote bags. We set a flat price on those of $6. The t-shirts, we did a flat price of $8. And then for the hoodies, we did a flat price of $16. We got rid of our minimum because that's not important now. And we let people, we gave them kind of a price range. So for t-shirts, we told them somewhere between $18 and $24, depending on the business, depending on their market. It kind of gives them, allows them to pick a number that they think will work best for them and their efforts. Because ultimately they understand their clientele. If it's, you know, if it's a small cafe or something like that, they might want to go a little bit lower on the price scale. But if it's, you know, a Michelin star restaurant, and they think they can get more because they're the demographic that they're pitching it to has deeper pockets, then they can maybe bump that price up a little bit and increase the benefit for themselves. Another thing that we did was we committed to taking 10% of whatever proceeds that we have. And at the end of this, we're donating that to the Greater Chicago Food Depository to kind of help everybody else out that might not necessarily have access to it, whether they've lost their job and they're not, you know, not receiving any assistance from their employer, or they've, you know, they've got a family, they've got kids that are out of school that are normally getting 2 to 3 meals a day at school. Now sure. They're trying to feed them at home. So, it was just kind of a way for us to partner with a few different organizations and kind of spread, take that money and spread it out as much as we can.
Sure. That's interesting. So, are there any other interesting hiccups or maybe mistakes that you've made throughout the whole process?
Yeah. So we didn't, the whole shipping aspect of this was totally new to us because we had never done fulfillment like that. So, you know, just dealing with individuals was something that was new to us because we're used to people placing orders. And most of the time those people are businesses. So now just kind of having, a more business to direct end user pipeline, was something very new to us. We've never really had that before. So, going back to the communication, that was something that we spent like a week, like getting all these crazy questions from people that we had never really been, you know, we had never trained ourselves or prepared ourselves for. And so we kind of had a meeting all together with me and the other two, account managers, and we're just like, hey, we need to have a unified message,
sure.
that we can just, you know, like what problems can we solve to prevent these issues and prevent these questions? And also if we are going to get these questions that are, you know, just from somebody having confusion about the website or having an issue getting their shipping information there for whatever, we just needed to kind of put together a strategy for how to approach the end user, which we had never really had to do before because we're, you know, we're in some capacity a wholesaler to primarily businesses. So,
right.
That was definitely news to us and definitely a learning curve, but.
Speaking of which, Juan actually had a really great question here. How did you guys manage shipping? So you talked about that was an interesting learning process. What did you use? He's asking polybags, boxes, UPS, USPS. You know, what was it?
Yeah, so we do quite a bit of polybagging already. We work with a lot of like clothing lines that want that they're shipping most of their stuff out all over the country and all over the world. So we had the materials that we needed, but just, you know, different things like a hoodie can't fit in the same bag as a t-shirt. So you need to make sure that you have an adequate amount of all of that. You know, make sure if you don't have a label printer, get a label printer. Steven from Campus Inc. has a pretty solid recommendation on that. And yeah, just making sure, like I was saying, that you have all the supplies that you need, kind of walk through that every single step of this. What does it look like? How are we going to present it? What does it look like when the customer opens it? Do we want to have any branding in there? Like, is there any, you know, information that we can put a thank you note or something like that? Like just walk through that process and, you know, travel with that t-shirt as it goes through the pipeline. But in terms of shipping itself, the Easy Post connection and, Printava, we had already established that. So we kind of let the customer pick which shipping option works best for them. And that's worked really great. I mean, it's being able to send these orders out in batches and just download the shipping labels and put it all together, has been super helpful. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to process 494 individual shipping labels manually. Sounds excruciating.
It's been an interesting engineering challenge, but that's awesome. That's really great to hear. So, have you used any of the end customers' information, like their emails, yet to add to your email marketing list?
We have not. That's something I've thought about. I will probably, I'll probably seek permission from the whatever the business is that we want to pull that data from.
Sure.
I don't want to just assume because we didn't really. There's nothing out there. I mean, we could have put it in our terms, but there was no opt-in, opt-out that I'm aware of that we ran past them. And I don't want to assume that it's okay to do that. But I mean, we're definitely going to reach out to the businesses that we've set these stores up for and see if that's something that they're okay with, and see if, you know, if we can get that information. At very least, we'll probably send everybody a follow-up thank you, just kind of recapping the success of the program. You know, once we're getting closer to ending the fundraising sites for the business aspect of it, or the COVID-19 relief, then we'll probably follow up with everybody, kind of give them some stats on the success, tell them how the funds were distributed, and just kind of, you know, thank them again for their support of our, I don't want to call them our customers, but our friends and neighbors in Chicago. I mean, all of these people at the end of the day, whether they're the business owner who's, you know, been buying shirts for me for years, that person still goes home at the end of the day. They're our neighbor, they're our friends. We want everybody to be able to be happy and healthy on the other side of this. So we just want to thank them for that. That'll be something that we absolutely make it a point of doing.
It's a great idea. There was another question from Sean McDonald's, who I was actually just about to ask about. This is marketing and promotion of the store. How does that work, right? How much are you pushing it versus them? I mean, especially if you're starting to run however many tens or so, you know, 20, 30 stores at a time, what do you give them tools, or what does that look like?
Yeah. So that is the one thing that we ask of people. It does two things. So we try to get them to promote it. We make it very clear up front that the success of the program rides on their ability to push it. Because the people who are following our sales channel or our marketing channels, our social media, aren't necessarily their customers and may not, right, you know, have any connection with them. Right. I mean, I would venture to say that a quarter of the people following us are in the screen printing industry and are probably not going to go buy a shirt from a restaurant in Chicago that they've never been to. So we make it very clear up front. It's like, all right, we're going to do all this work. And in order for this, all of this to be worth something, you have to push it. So fortunately, I think any business right now has probably the largest captive audience they've ever had because everybody's chilling at home. So getting them to push it through their social media, getting them to put the link in their bio and direct people to it regularly, is really what's been driving this. And the companies that we've seen more actively promoting it, you know, putting it in different posts and all that kind of stuff, are the ones that are doing better. So we share that information. I mean, we can kind of give them, we make it very clear, like, these people are doing really well with this, and follow them and see how they're promoting it and why it's been successful for them so far. So
is it some sort of doc that you give them at the beginning to you know, it's up to you guys to push it?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of give them some direction. Social media is perfect for this. Instagram is great. We'll send them all the mock-ups that they need, so that they can share those, and whatever graphics, if it's any new art that people have never seen before, we'll give them the mock-ups, we'll give them any graphics that we put together, and just kind of, you know, tell them to push it. I mean, with each store, especially having a few different options on there, it gives them some different talking points, whether it's a tote or a tee or a hoodie or something like that. You know, if it's today, it's oddly sunny and snowing in Chicago, so it's a great day to promote a hoodie, right? We help them with those talking points a little bit, and then just really try to drive it in that the success of this relies on them, because their followers aren't necessarily our followers. So in order for them to reach the people that really genuinely want to help them, they need to get the word out there. And I think showing them that other businesses are doing it, other businesses who they either may be familiar with or they look up to or something like that, you know, they feel a little less guilty about kind of the self-promotion aspect of it, which I feel like most people are hesitant to do. But, you know, these are weird times and you got to, you know what I mean? If you want to stay afloat, and people are happy to help if you give them the opportunity. So,
That makes sense. That's awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate sharing that. Would you say the most successful store then is the one that they really pushed out to their audience, or was there something else that, and like what was the most successful so far?
The most successful store was one of our brewery clients. They pushed it. I mean, they've they've run a few different fundraising campaigns. And, you know, alongside the store that we had running, they had another design that they had on their own e-commerce platform that they ended up dropping as a traditional order with us. So we came in to this week with just a straight up order from them, not a fulfillment order. So they definitely see the value of it. They've promoted it online. They even dedicated a post to us as the company and just kind of broke down, you know, who we were, our relationship with them, and then the program that we're running. So that was huge. I mean, we had a lot of people seeing that, getting directed to us and asking us questions about how to get involved with that. So
that's really,
yeah. Cool. I mean, the ones that are promoting it are definitely the ones that are doing better. I mean, we have 21 active stores right now, and there are a couple that are sitting in there that we know that, that the link has not been shared. It hasn't been put on their social media, and they might have one or two orders in there. But the ones that are, you know, that have, you know, 40, 50 to a couple hundred orders are the ones that we've seen, like, tagging us and stuff and sharing the information, sharing the mockups,
right,
you know, directing people to that site. So
how do you,
the only way to get it out there is that exposure. What's up?
How do you print those ones and twos? Do you have a direct to garment printer, or do you sub those out, or are you setting up?
We're setting up the press. Yeah. So going back to kind of how we simplified the offerings, and that flat rate, $6, $8, and $16 pricing, was that we also included some printing parameters in there, so that, I mean, you couldn't just go wild and give us an 8-color simulated process print and we're going to print two of them, right? So we did, we set it up. You can either get a 1-color on the front and back, or a 1-3-color print on a single location. We tried to make it, we tried to anticipate the fact that not all of these stores are going to be, you know, super successful in sure. our eyes in terms of approaching our minimum order. But we wanted to make it something that was really easy and really impactful. So we know what prints do really well in a retail environment. And then we also know what prints do really well on press and allow us to get in and out really quickly with those. So we just took that overlap and set the parameters based on that. So most of the orders are single color. We do have a few that are up to 3-color, but we're pushing those as a soft tan shop worn print where we don't have to do an underbase, and we're pushing them on a heather tee so you can get kind of a vintage look. So just using the techniques that we know will make things easier for us to keep our costs down so that we can offer kind of maximum impact for the businesses.
Makes sense. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, Adam, I really appreciate being able to go through this. I think this is just so helpful, just to be able to share some of the tips and lessons learned over this time. Obviously, so many of us are so new and getting started. This has been great. We're going to also record. This has all been recorded, so you guys will be able to rewatch it and be able to pull it down after. I have to definitely plug Printable Merch, as we are working really hard to be able to help Adam and all of you guys be able to start up stores affordably and just get going on it quickly. Now, we actually just released fundraising for Printable Merch 2, which is really exciting. So not only can you keep track and do reporting on how much you fundraised, but you can also then show a little bar at the top and a progress bar, set a goal, and just have some more customization on the store. So you guys can check that out. Check out our blog, printable.com/blog, to be able to see that. And I'll type that in here as well, so you guys can pull this down. We'll also – I posted the URL, printable.com/Adam. /blog. So you guys – yeah. So you guys will be able to check that out. Again, Adam, thank you so much. Hopefully you're staying warm. It's actually flurrying in Chicago, so nobody's excited about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce and Luke and the whole team at Printable. If you guys haven't already checked it out, check out the new features they just rolled out in the last few days. Super helpful, especially at these, you know, for these fundraising stores and the presentation aspect of it, making it very easy to get people signed up. So I definitely recommend it. If you've never dipped your toes into it, we're really happy that we did. So.
Heck yeah. Thanks, man. Thank you again. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.